have the intention to sit in meditation and set the mind so that it is still and becomes right concentration. We may have heard that samadhi, meditative concentration, is a quality that suppresses the mental defilements at first. It's like a stone that is pressing on the grass, yet the grass is not dead. If the stone is lifted up, the grass grows again. But when there is concentration, we may have heard that panya, wisdom, can arise, and think, how is this possible? Panya here is wisdom. Wisdom is the quality that will enable us to understand the Dhamma itself. Therefore, the Buddha praised the Dhamma, the teachings, saying that it stands in place of the Blessed One. When we understand the Dhamma, then we will understand his teachings. To see the Dhamma is to see the Buddha. There is clarity in this. The faith, the belief that the Buddha truly existed, he truly attained enlightenment, and so we have unshakable faith. But when we have not yet understood the Dhamma, that firm faith may not yet be complete, not yet clear in the heart. Therefore we come to practice the Dhamma, and it is the path that goes towards Lokuttara, the transcendental world. The word transcendental world means beyond the mundane world. What's it like to be beyond the world? We then look at how this world is. In this world, there is happiness, there is suffering. For the mind to be beyond the world is called to be beyond happiness, free from suffering, beyond both happiness and suffering. In this world, for the most part, people have reason and logic, but the transcendental world goes beyond reason, beyond logic, beyond the cycle of samsara that has birth and death. If we understand the Dhamma, then it will be beyond birth and above death. This is the teaching of Venerable Ajahn Chah. Through his practice, he realized the Dhamma and then brought it forth to teach. Dhamma practitioners, therefore, also aspire that they will come to understand, to see the Dhamma, and to have their hearts inclined towards the Dhamma, to enter the stream of the Dhamma. What's it like to fall into the stream of the Dhamma? We must train, put effort, and persevere by way of the mind. Giving dana and keeping sila, the precepts, these are the foundation. Generosity, such as giving alms and making merit again and again, can reduce our greed. Whether one has much or little, one gives according to one's means. Anattapindika, the great benefactor, had much, so he gave greatly. Or in today's society, those who have a lot can give according to their capacity, and there are many different ways of giving as well. But a practitioner who truly understands gives in order to let go of greed. By meditating, the heart becomes cool and calm, enabling one to abandon anger and ill will. One builds wisdom to arise, to abandon delusion. Then suffering in the heart will steadily lessen, day by day. Therefore, for wisdom to arise, there must be samadhi, concentration. For concentration to be established, there must be sila, morality, virtue. The benefits of practice is that when virtue has been well cultivated, the great fruit is concentration. When concentration has been well cultivated, it has the great fruit of wisdom. When wisdom has been well cultivated, then there can be vimutti, liberation, the true release from suffering. Therefore, we must all try to train, especially when we have time, Sometimes we stop work for 2, 3, or 4 days. These are days that give the body a chance to rest from work. But the mind is always at work. Resting the mind means practicing concentration. It is the resting place, the dwelling place of our hearts. Sometimes Venerable Ajahn Chah would ask, "Do you know your dwelling place yet?" Our dwelling place is this concentration, the place where we stay, the resting place of the mind. All the restless moods, thoughts, and mental objects are fabricated and proliferated. They are all tied up with me and mine. That is why we must bring the heart to rest. Sometimes even at home we can do it, but often we still feel entangled. Then we should look for a quiet place, whether in the forest, under a tree, in nature, or at a monastery that is close to nature, so that we can train the mind to be more peaceful. When the mind is peaceful, whatever it sees can become Dhamma. If the mind is not peaceful, then whatever it sees will all be restless and chaotic. That is what we call agitation. When the mind is peaceful, it sees as Dhamma. It sees impermanence, change, and uncertainty. Therefore, this uncertainty helps us a great deal. If we look at everything as all about one's self, about me and mine, then it all becomes confusing. But if we see that all things are impermanent, never certain, always changing according to causes and conditions, then we understand that nothing should be clung to firmly. At that point, wisdom will gradually arise from the mind that is calm, from the mind that is still. When living in the forest and seeing leaves fall, one reflects, "This life too is uncertain. Strong winds blow, and even the green leaves fall. Even trees get broken and toppled down as well." In the same way, life is like that. There are illnesses and diseases of many kinds. Even little children not yet able to walk can fall sick. We've all seen this. And what karma is this from? Karma from harming the lives of other beings in the past. That is the way it is. But as long as we are still alive in this present moment, it means that we also have merit. There is wholesome karma and merit still sustaining us. Therefore, we should not be heedless. Don't be careless. Living at home, one could rest comfortably or indulge in various moods and pleasures. But when we reflect, we see that we have already had such pleasures before, and they amounted to nothing. We have had happiness before, and that too amounted to nothing. So we come to seek the true happiness, to seek the true home. There were many foods that we've eaten, and even if they've had special flavors, they were uncertain and they all passed away. But the flavor of the Dhamma surpasses all flavors. So we come to seek the Dhamma. The Dhamma is our heart that is bright, a bright heart with wisdom. No matter how bright the sun may be, even 100 suns, 1,000 suns, they cannot make the heart bright. If the heart is dark, it does not mean it will always be dark, but it is often dark, so often that we cannot see the brightness of the heart. The darkness keeps returning again and again. By training the mind with concentration, then we can begin to see. The heart becomes brighter through concentration. When contemplating to give rise to wisdom, it is said, "There is no light like that of wisdom." Wisdom shines within the heart. The suffering we experience in various matters can be seen to have no true self at all, then the heart can be freed from suffering. In the Buddha's time, there were many examples. One was Venerable Yasa, the son of a wealthy family. He had everything. He was a great billionaire. We can imagine what a billionaire in India today is like. They're held very highly. In ancient times, if one was a great billionaire, then it must have been even more grand, with happiness and comfort in every way. But when jnana, insight, arose, he saw that everything changes. This word jnana is important. Jnana means wisdom, insight. The beauty that once appeared beautiful no longer seemed beautiful. And this caused conflict in the mind. Why is it like this? But then there is the knowing in the mind. The mind that feels conflicted, the mind that is restless, it is because our mind begins to be deluded by all the moods and sense objects. Therefore, one must be careful with the mind, guard the mind, teach the mind to have wisdom arise. Now, when there is concentration, the mind is taught easily. This is impermanent. This is uncertain. And one understands. But if concentration is weak, no matter how the mind is taught, it will not listen. It won't hear it. So we must come to train. We cannot neglect it. We must train every day. Just like eating food. We eat every day, don't we? We drink water every day. If one sees the benefit of concentration, one will practice meditation every day. On any day one doesn't practice meditation, one will notice the mind is hot. So meditation is like water extinguishing fire. The mind becomes cool to some degree. Those with wisdom extinguish the fire completely, so that greed, hatred, and delusion do not arise. These three fires are not many, but they constantly burn the human mind. And we don't want that, do we? We don't want to be angry with anyone, do we? When anger arises, it proliferates, wanting to destroy and harm. Ill will itself is a fire. Therefore, we train. From being someone who was often angry, one improves. Being someone who was often fault-finding of others, it's better to turn that fault-finding towards oneself. If we always look at others without ever looking at ourselves, nothing can really change. So we look at our own minds. Everyone in the world is born with greed, with anger, with delusion. Everyone has their own karma. So we look into our own mind, correct it at our own mind. We practice meditation. We aren't heedless in our youth. We're not heedless with our age. As long as life still continues, we can't be heedless. One trains and cultivates. When there is faith and one continues to train and cultivate like this continually, then things will gradually improve, and in the end one will understand the Dhamma. And the Dhamma is something marvelous. It's because it's something we've never seen before. We only seek conventional truth, samuti. But one day we understand that the true nature of reality is anicchang, impermanent, dukkang, unsatisfactory, and anatta, not self. That itself is liberation, vimutti. This is called being beyond the world, freed. Then faith will naturally arise. Faith as confidence, the faith through wisdom will arise. And this faith is important. It gives rise to effort, determination, and perseverance to train and cultivate the mind. It has a firm resolve that true happiness really does exist. The happiness we have experienced before was uncertain and unstable, but what we will gain through the practice is true happiness through wisdom and through understanding of the Dhamma. What is called Dhamma is truly of great value. It brings forth light in the heart. We praise the virtue of the Dhamma. When we practice and see for ourselves, then we will understand the Dhamma. We will clearly see the Buddha without any doubts. So set your hearts firmly on this. May you grow in blessings.